Hey, Pants people, if you love the original music we have in the podcast, you can find it all on Spotify and I think Apple and, like, you know, the places you get music. Just search music from the Fantasy Pants podcast. I bet if you just search Fantasy Pants, it'll probably come up. Check it out.
I think we can all agree on that, right? And though our celestial protectors have seen the losses brought down to the minimum possible, there is yet a dark shadow that looms over the whole Sword affair. A shadow felt that they all on all of our worlds. The shadow of Ozan Yoshikatsu, of the Storm Eye. The greatest evil to ever grace our worlds, who used impossible magics to bring the keening gloom to bear over Tythos and Omizu, could have used that same power to take control of the legendary Storm Serpent that led the attack against Calipang. I don't know, but he does have this power, and where did he wield this? Where to wield this power? I mean, obviously, right? Obviously, from the Dawn Incarnates. Just like with Jolay Brass before, the Dawn Incarnates must have imparted dark and powerful secrets onto their servant and sent him forth to destroy our worlds. Perhaps I can explain the dragon's screeching roar over the city of Calipang. Save Jules? The conquered Jules? Was the last Bakunawa of the Serpentine world fighting against Ozan's control? Was it trying to warn us against another fall into the gloom? We can't confirm any of this, of course, but we do know this. We know that Ozan Yoshikatsu is out there somewhere. Unless we put our faith in Atash and follow his exact order, the Storm Eye will return to finish feeding us all to the Cyclone.
Did I understand that right?
That's some natural one horse shit right there.
What?
Yeah.
What? What are you talking about?
That's horse shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have proof?
I mean, I've got Ozan's blade. Is that proof?
It's proof that you have the blade. It's funny, the armor.
Well, I didn't scalp him. Like,
whatever happened to the armor? That's right. You got rid of it. You burial at seed Ozan's body in his armor, if I remember correctly.
Did you just make the term burial at sea a verb?
Yes. Which is strange because that armor lies before you all now, it seems. At least fragment of it. What's going on there? Huh. What's happening here on this world?
Wait.
What?
I have a thing before we start.
I don't care about your thing. You have a thing too?
Well, no, I just have more of a question.
Yeah, you go first.
Hell yeah. What's going on?
Does Rune think that the Bakunawa was talking about the conquered Jules and not Jules LaRoche?
It's propaganda.
That's out there. Is it?
It's natural one horseshit.
Yeah. Is it propaganda or, I mean, what's more likely? A thing yells about Jules. Is it Jules who, for us, everyone else knows, is not on that world, right?
Yeah,
no one
thinks
you're there.
That's true.
Or Jules, the common phrase for the conquered Jules that are this all-encompassing, very important sort of societal force. I think I kind of was, honestly, this was just kind of me trying to explain away, like, what would everyone think when they heard that?
Yeah.
And I kind of like clocked the, you know, I don't know.
I mean I'm not asking because I don't think it really holds that much significance. It's just kind of
these are like, it's like the weird little nitpicks I do to myself. I think back and I'm like, someone's going to be like, hey, David, you know, clearly you didn't think about this. And it's like, I did, Steven, you fucker.
Hey.
I thought it.
What did I do?
I don't know. Say your piece and shut up.
Wow.
What do you guys think this is?
What is that?
Ooh, I know, but I'm going to let you reveal.
These are the keys.
What?
To our very own.
What?
Fantasy Pants.
What?
Post office box.
Hit the man sign! Mail time eventually. Yeah, when you send mail.
Official mail time.
Mail time.
There's no actual mail yet because I just opened the P.O. box.
Yeah.
But I figured we should have a central place to send mail since the address that the Pants people used to have for Jeremy is no longer Jeremy's address.
Correct.
And the address that the Pants people had for me is no longer my address. So it was like, what if we did one central thing that we could kind of all access easily and blah, 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 blah.
I mean, it's kind of surprising we just didn't do that from the start.
Yeah.
It's so cool. Feels so official.
Yeah. Right? It's super official.
Right.
And if you want to be the first person to send shit to us, giving away prizes for the first
letter we get.
Yes.
You get a button.
You get a kiss.
And a kiss.
We're going to blow you a kiss.
We'll mail it to you. To your P.O. box.
But I guess I can tell you where to mail it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's P.O. box.
Ooh.
323.
Ooh.
P.O. box 323.
I like that.
In Bethlehem, New Hampshire. 03574.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like that number.
It's a good number.
I like it. For a second, I thought you were going to go 321, and then I was like, holy shit.
Oh, dude, that would have been wild, right? It would have been wild. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're repping the 323.
Nice.
That's gonna go for a drink of water.
Somebody Google what 323 area code is.
Oh, sure. Where is it?
We don't want to know.
We're taking it over.
To what island? Oh, God.
Mm. All right. Sorry. Now we can get back to playing the game, but I was excited.
Back into the game. That's exciting news, though. It's exciting.
Oh, right?
Central Los Angeles.
Oh, No. I don't want to try to take anybody's.
No. Yeah. Yeah, it's the neighborhoods such as Hollywood, downtown LA, Silver Lake, and Echo Park.
Oh, where we belong, baby.
Whoa, we're famous.
We're famous now.
Well, hold on. What gangs roll in that territory, though?
I don't think any gangs. Silver Lake and Echo Park are pretty cool.
The Panthers pretty soon.
So does that mean that we have no competition?
Just the Shirters. Come on.
Just the what?
The Shirters.
The Shirters?
Or the Panthers.
Oh, God.
What is it? The aldermen of those areas. Like, hey, these are our streets now.
Yeah, we're moving in.
Yeah.
You guys want to play some games?
Yes.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm so pumped. This has been a lot of fun. Like, one thing I love, we didn't really talk about this in the last two episodes, but one thing I love is I wanted to have this whole duality thing going with these two arcs, right? One's Theater of the Mind. One, as we are involved now, is pure map, you know, dungeon crawl. And what's really cool about that is we have this, like, the two settings are also so different. You have the stormy archipelago, right?
Nice job.
I did it. Just rainy and it's almost like somber. And then you have this like bustling desert city state, gold-filled mountains all around, like you know, the dry heat bearing down on you. Like just totally, totally different feels and settings for these totally, totally different arcs. I'm really excited. Like in the book. These are two different arcs from the book, actually. Let's do a little like unzipped now.
I was going to say, I was like, save for unzipped.
I'll just a little bit, just a little tiddly touch.
A little
taste. Teaser for 25, 30, 50 episodes from now when we finish this shit.
You said tiddly touch, but not tickle the balls?
I'm tickling the balls right now. Tickle the balls, next unzipped.
There you go, there you go.
So the Dialogon arc is known as Twisted Roots. The Sensen arc is known as Fools for Golden Princes. And I have in my notes, it's literally just called Fools and Roots. And I have two different, it's cool. Like I have the Fools part of my notes with a big letter. And I have the Roots part of my notes. I'm kind of just jumping back and forth between the two of them. And it feels cool. I don't know. It's fun.
I like it.
I like the duality. I'm having a lot of fun with this. A lot of fun with the fact that my map right now is most of my notes for the Fools storyline. Yeah, it's wild. It's cool. And let's get back in this dungeon crawl because we have so much to see. You have brought light to the tiniest piece of this thing. And by now, I'll start putting this in the Discord, in the battle map section.
Cool, check that out.
Yeah. It's going to be getting bigger and bigger. I'll be updating it constantly with this. So
sweet.
Hell yeah. Couple updates. Just want to say to kind of help paint the scene. We discussed these Academy sort of features. It's kind of this hardened, carved, mud-made structure with sort of gilding all around it. And we have the ceilings are about 30 feet high in most places. Very high ceiling. Just this enormous palace of a structure. The room you're standing in now is about 40 foot by 30 foot. A lot of the rooms seem to fall around this category of these classrooms. And I will note that there is a strip of arcane light that hugs the top of each wall
throughout the school. So typically wherever you go is going to be well lit. It's not convenient. Some dark academy. It's like, but it's almost like, to me, I think it's almost more unsettling. Imagine you walk into a dark school that's totally shut down, right? Isn't it weird to walk into a school where all the lights are on, but nobody's home?
I would be more comfortable with that than a dark one.
I think it's comfortable, but there's something wrong with it because you look around and there's that feeling of there should be something here. There should be laughing and cheering, you know, kids. I mean, this is a college for, I think, I imagine being like 16 to age 16 to 20 are typically who's going to be in this school. So you'd have just like young people running about, you know, learning their life lessons, taking their first steps into adulthood and maturity and just dead silence.
Instead, there's an arm on the table.
Mm. An arm on the table. Akio.
Look, Master Branch, look, we got rid of it, but it's Ozen's.
A gauntlet and a vambrace. Black steel forged into the distinct style of the Umizen samurai. Blanche, you would know this armor piece would be called a kote on its homeworld. Dark gray leather covered over by interconnected plates of sleek metal. You can clearly see, raised against the surface of the back of the gauntlet, two letters, followed by a single number. AG6.
Oh, dude.
Is that like
the... Dude. I remember.
I remember. Guys from... Yeah.
I feel like this arc is so perfectly designed to be the ultimate PTSD flashback for Dresden and Blanche specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get more into that. You can also see very clearly. I imagine... I should ask, are you... We let that off with you kind of moving a little closer, I believe. Are you moving up to, like, look at this thing? Are you?
Yeah, Blanche is going to put on her her goggles, her...
Eyes of Minute Seeing.
Eyes of Minute Seeing,
which you took from Itzmin del Prado, the creator
full circle.
Of
full circle.
AG5.
So I'd like to investigate.
Okay, give me that.
Oof. Oh, yeah. That's a 23.
Okay. I'll give you the obvious first, and I'll kind of expand from there. As you go over, you can see very clearly that a complex magical inscription covers the inside of these plates. And you can see this because someone has been taking this armored arm apart. Tinkering tools line the counter, a few more spread across the workshop floor. You see a forearm plate has been pulled up from the leather sleeve beneath it, a small pointed silver tool resting against it. Would you have proficiency in any kind of magical sort of tinkering tool? I don't know if you'd know what an arcano cutter would be, but...
Not under my tools, under proficiency, no.
Okay. Needless to say, you see a tool that's been used to sort of dismantle this thing. You see a notebook sits beside the arm. A great number of pages have been torn violently from it and spread across the floor along with a broken quill. The black ink drips from the sandy southern wall where a bottle was smashed. And by some working of chance, the blot looks like a long, screaming face. But maybe that's just my take on this imaginary Rorschach test. Steven probably sees a penis.
Did you write that? It sounds like you were reading that.
I was proud of that one. You are looking... with your eyes minute seeing, what do you want to look at? You see the arm. A lot of what's here is pretty clear. You see there's pages all over the floor. One of them looks like it's smaller, crumpled. Do you want to examine the arm closer? Do you want to examine the pages around? What do you want to look
at? Yeah, well, I want to do both. I want to...
Well, you can't. This room blows up in 5 seconds!
First, I want to examine the pages. I can hopefully get the group's help to put them back in order. And the lens, metaphorically, the lens that I'm looking through is like, is this something that somebody like maybe Dresden could like slip their arm into and enhance their ability?
Oh, ooh. Weird.
Ooh.
Okay, that is interesting.
Dresden goes up and tries to put his arm in it.
Bad time to take a sip.
I know,
it's bad
time to take a sip. We almost had a spit take. Oh, shit.
Right, real question. Do you actually?
No.
Okay, make sure.
Let's put the notes together first.
Yeah. So you reach down, you're starting to grab the notes, putting them together, and as you're like flipping these over, perhaps like scanning them as you're going,
yeah.
You just see that these notes here are scrawled in this sort of large, awkward print. Many points on the page have been torn where too much pressure was placed on the writing quill. Let me take that again. Fuck.
Leave it in.
Shut.
Yep.
You see, it's strange, right? This is like an almost childlike script, just all scribbled in a huge swooping hand. Too much pressure, too much strength put through the paper, except the scripture itself is just extremely complicated notes taken from an analysis of that armor piece. You could see like all the various scriptures on the inside sort of banding around. It has been sort of rewritten here with various notations that perhaps as a wizard you might be able to make out and somewhat understand with an arcana check.
Ooh, yeah.
But before you take that check, there's one other thing you do see. I mentioned that crumpled up paper you see on the floor, and you kind of reach that and you immediately feel it, and it's not the same material. Something firmer. And as you kind of unfold it, you see it's a diamond taken photograph. You immediately recognize the jockish Prince Simbone, grinning wide and carrying a halfling girl on his shoulders. See, her skin is a light tan, and she has black hair and two tails hanging over her shoulders. There are wide-rimmed glasses resting on her button nose. Though she is posed with arms crossed and a childish pout, there's just no mistaking the smile fighting to break out on her face. And on the back, you see, there is a little bit of writing. Much more neat writing. Me and my idiot. The O of the word idiot has been turned to a goofy, stylistic, smiley face. Mm.
What was her name again?
He referred to her as Z.
Z, right.
I believe if he told said the full name, I'm pretty sure he did, that would be Song Wenzi.
Blanche will show the picture around.
This is Z. I can't imagine that she's anything but innocent in all of this. Let's keep an eye out for her and the rest of the top five, whatever they were called.
And so you pocket the picture? Throw it away, burn it.
No, she'll hold on to the photo.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
What happened here? What happened to Z? Why are these students still here?
Right, and why was the photo crumbled up and thrown on the ground?
Like, you look around.
That's something that somebody would do when they're upset.
And you look around this room. Pages ripped out and thrown on the floor. A bottle of ink smashed. A quill snapped. Someone was upset in here.
Right, but why the picture?
Why the picture? Why indeed? You begin to take the pages, put them together. This is going to take you some time to read through. Are you willing to spend maybe 30 minutes in this room?
What do you think?
Fuck. No.
No? Can we skip to maybe doing the arcana check on the armor first?
That will take some time as well, but it will take less. The notes are, honestly, I would say the notes might be easier in some ways to gather information from, because it's taken what's essentially this cylindrical scripture written all around the inside that you can pick up with your eyes of minute seeing, but on the notes, they're already kind of like annotated, and someone who clearly knows artificery has broken down the main points for you. It just takes time to sort of put this together and read through what's honestly also just pretty rough handwriting.
I mean, do we split up and try to do it that way?
Oh, God.
You could do that. I like that.
I mean, even just, like, close by, or...
Yeah.
Do we just take full-ass time?
Oh, I like this a lot.
Well, a part of me thinks that maybe Blanche should start reading a little bit, and then Dresden will just kind of walk to the hallway and just go down a little bit, you know, still within...
Close distance.
Voice reach.
Yeah.
Voice reach.
That makes sense. I know what you mean.
So close enough where they don't have to yell. Sure. They can still just kind of talk in a loud voice and hear each other.
Hey friends, Editor Jeremy here. Earshot. That's the term I was looking for. Fucking earshot. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I think that's the plan.
I think as Blanche goes to put these papers together, Akio is kind of moving in, helping but not helping, kind of shoving with his nose some papers towards you and kind of sniffing around the room. And there's a somber air to him. He just keeps glancing over at the vambrace, the gauntlet, and just puttering back and forth. Jean sees Dresden moving out. Dresden, I'll be by your side. And as you step out into the hall, let's follow our warriors, Dresden and Jean. You guys are pushing southwards. Mm-hmm. You are in the sort of now the long bar of the T, and you see as you go down south, the hallway kind of opens up into sort of a smaller sort of cube. As you step lower, you see, surprise, surprise, more doors.
Whoa.
Three of them, in fact.
What a fun house this is.
I fucking love doors.
You see one hallway on the western wall and two directly on the southern wall of this long hall you step down.
Okay. Dresden will go down to this door, and then he'll nod over to Jean Franklin to go down to this door. And then he will, with his hands, go one, two, three, and then they both open the doors at the same time.
Before the doors open, can you see what's down the other hall?
Ooh.
Because when Dresden went down, he...
That's true. Yeah, good point. Thank you.
Thank you. As Dresden reaches the end of the hall, just next to those doors. Just
another door.
Another long hallway. You also see what looks like some a number of like free work tables, just these four long tables, chairs all down them. Again, a place where you can just imagine being filled with students all locked into their studies or personal projects.
Okay, we need to be careful going this way because now we're starting to wiggle our way towards the front entrance where all the commotion is happening and where everybody is.
I will say the commotion that was there before is gone.
Okay.
But there's still a lot of guards at the front entrance. Yeah.
I don't want to fuck with getting anywhere near that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, it still stands. We both open the doors at the same time. We don't go in. We just open them.
Jean, push the door in. Poof. Yeah! It's magic stuff. Spell supplies. I don't know. He kind of looks into this room, and that's all he really says. You can't see in there. You know what's going on.
Sure.
You open your door, and you're staring at some kind of office.
Huh.
You see a number of, like, interesting works of artificery, kind of just, like, small, almost prototype contraptions, unfinished, lining a back wall. You see, like, there's an actual kind of chair and you know, desk right by the doorway. The desk itself just has a number of, like, just looks like... What's the word I'm looking for? Prototype scriptures.
Like blueprints?
Blueprints. Thank
Schematics?
You. Schematics, blueprints. Those are both great words.
Cool.
No button for you, though.
Fuck you.
Because you took too long.
Fuck you.
You just took too long. You see a number of schematics kind of piled up on this desk.
Uh-huh.
You do see, too, on the desk, there is one interesting thing. A dagger is just jutting up from the wood.
Okay.
An interesting dagger. It's got this, it's silver. There's a black pearl just like molded into the grip of it. It's kind of cool.
Okay. Is there anything that it's stabbed to? Is there a note or anything?
I'd say it's right sort of beside all the other papers. Not disturbing them, but just kind of pressed in almost proudly into a slot. Not like it was jammed in roughly, but there's like a slot on the desk where this thing looks to be almost displayed.
Huh.
The slot carved.
Okay. Would an investigation check get me anything?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. 11.
With an 11?
Yeah.
What I will say... There is magical inscription on this dagger. It is a magical dagger of some type. You don't know what the effect is. You don't know what it does. But maybe Blanche will.
Yeah. Okay. Dresden is going to manifest his echo at the dagger.
Yep.
And the echo will take the dagger out of the slot.
Nothing happens. He's holding the dagger.
He's going to command the echo to put it in the... Can the dagger wiggle in the slot?
It's pretty firmly in place.
Pretty firmly in place, okay.
Yeah. It's carved perfectly to fit it.
Okay. So in that case, the echo will continue holding the dagger.
You rolled investigation on the dagger. Do you want to investigate anything else in here?
What was up against the back wall there?
Just a number of, it looks like unfinished prototype, just kind of like almost like it looks like pieces of armor, pieces of some larger project, some weird half circle in metal with like bands of crystal dust kind of solidified along it. And it looks like it doesn't really do anything. But maybe it was supposed to be a part of something larger. If you look at the schematics, you might see that exact thing, popping out amongst many other pieces.
Okay. Can I just roll a general check for the room?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. That one was even worse. That's a 7. Yeah, it's not gonna be shit.
You can, when we're doing this sort of thing too, I will allow you to take time. Like if you take, you know, 20 full minutes while Blanche is doing her thing, you could get a decent look.
Yeah, he's gonna call Jean over though before he goes in and does this. They're gonna do this together.
Hell yeah. I will say Jean was in the room for a moment. Mm-hmm. He walks out with a number of like a few pouches of various things. He has a few vials of like different colored inks. He's like, I've seen Sa use these for inscribing things in a book. Might be useful. Kind of tucks it away.
Is he?
He's gonna help you. He's helping you out.
Well, no, does he not know what ink is?
He doesn't know what magical inks are. Is he not literate? I'm going to tell you, Jean found in that room would be about 200 golds worth of wizard supplies you could use to scribe. Damn. You know, you have to spend a certain amount of money to like take spells.
Yeah, I do.
This would be specifically for that. Okay. 200 gold count towards that. I'll give it to you. Jean's not an idiot. He can help you with that. He's seen you do your thing. You take your time. You're moving through this room, and again, you just move in these schematics. You see a lot of interesting, like, ideas for like magical items. It looks like they're trying to create their own sort of animated shield, much like the one Jean has. You see, like almost like there's probably a page that has something very similar to the apparatus of the crab that you once piloted in Umizu.
I was just gonna say it's still on my sheet. Whatever happened to that?
It's gone. It's gone.
I was gonna whip it out.
Got whomped on it.
Just carrying it in your back pocket. Yeah,
exactly.
You do have a T-Rex in your pocket. Yeah,
I'll remind you.
That's
true.
Jean does at least. And what you do find though, and as you're going through this deck, is there's one thing that matches an item that is fully complete that you have. You see a sheet, a schematic for a dagger of blind sight.
Shit.
A dagger.
Cool. That does not sound good right now.
No, that's great.
No, it's actually pretty cool. What this does is if you are to attune to this dagger, quite simply, just by attuning to it, you don't need to draw it out. As long as it's on your person somewhere, you can be sheathed. As long as you've attuned to this dagger, essentially it's more, the magic is more placed in the black pearl set in the pommel. Sure. You would gain blind sight out to a range of 30 feet, which means you can see when blinded. You can see when you're in obscuring, like heavy mist or anything like that. You would just be able to see in darkness.
30 feet?
30 feet, you would see everything going on around.
Isn't normal blind sight like 10 feet?
It's very cool.
That is,
whoa,
bonkers.
It's a very cool thing. You could see why it was so proudly placed upon this desk.
Yeah. Like
the first sort of mastercraft of this. Whoever this office belonged to, probably the instructor in artificery here.
Woof.
I think that would be enough time at this point. That Blanche, you've probably just about finished your work since you took your time to go through the room reading all that. You've put these pages together. And I'll tell you what you know. As you would expect, this armor piece belongs to some kind of automaton, much like the AG-5s, the 3s and 4s, all the other armored guard units you saw in Saint Etienne. This one's a little different. You're reading through and you see that just what you know from the hand, the dexterity gifted by this incredible scribe looks to be far, far beyond what you remember from the AG-5s in Saint Etienne. It's just the hands are much more dexterous, capable of more fine-tuned and quick movements. You also see that this arm has been crafted to act as some kind of arcane focus. And that's what you can tell. Basically, it doesn't really give any combat bonuses, but you could wear it and use it as an arcane focus.
Whoa.
Roll me an arcana check.
Don't fuck this up, Blanche.
Pretty good.
28.
Oh, my God.
Damn.
Okay. There's something that even the you're looking at like notes, and even the writer was confused about what exactly these pieces meant. I think there was like some theory crafting written in kind of the top parts of the page and kind of scrawled around the actual sort of rewrites of the inscriptions. But as you're looking at this, you're looking at these particular inscriptions of conjuration and abjuration, the way they're woven together, and you're seeing something that maybe even the writer of these notes did not see. That these particular bits of the script are meant to trap something within the shell of the armor. Now, whatever that something is, you can see it is gone from this piece. The inscription is now inert. But put together, it would have been incredibly, incredibly strong, binding something to the metal. But that's all you can tell from the arm.
I mean, probably the sapphire binding Ozan's body,
that's my
right?
first thought, yeah.
Does...
I will say this, too, actually. You've looked this... You rolled really high there. This isn't Ozan's armor.
Ah.
It's crafted to look exactly like it. Someone copied it perfectly, but this is newer.
Oh, the five.
The plate is new. The AG-6, though...
The kids. They're putting the kids in the armor.
Is that what you think?
It's almost obvious now. Can Blanche study it in any way? Or from the time she spent studying, can she see any way to reverse engineer it, to deactivate it? Any sort of weakness, like to magically hack this armor, so to say?
Man, I like this a lot. You cannot. But I want to give you something, because the 28 is a very high roll. You had that thought. Is it the kids? Is it the five? Is it the kids? And you go back, and you're looking through, and you go to the armor piece itself, and your finger moving down. You see there was a spot of missed inscription, carrying heavy implication. A touch of necromancy, interwoven with the conjuration and abjuration. And you realize what this thing is supposed to trap. A soul.
Huh. Does Blanche feel like it would trap her soul if she put it on?
No. It is broken.
Okay.
It would need to be full and whole to function. Whatever soul was trapped within this armor has passed on. You feel sure of that. But you have to wonder, where is the rest?
Her right arm is her dominant arm, her sword arm. And her left arm, her casting arm, is what she'll slide into the armor.
You slide it in. It's large. But I imagine the proportions of a turtle are a little larger than that of... Like you're short, but I imagine your actual
stout.
Like hands... Yeah, you're stout. Your hands are a little bigger. And I think, quite fittingly, this plate designed off of Ozan's own armor feels like it fits you like a glove. Nothing happens, but you feel your magical sort of power welling up within it, and you realize you can cast spells using this gauntlet.
Interesting. I don't know if it'll help, Akio, but I have a feeling. Let's regroup and continue.
He's like looking at you for a long time. Looks at the gauntlet you're wearing, and something just settles in his eyes. He gets up and moves outside. Just as he's moving outside, you two move outside. Imagine you're finishing up your investigations as well, Dresden.
Mm-hmm. And at this point, I've taken the dagger myself, and I have the inscriptions with me.
Hell yeah.
And I'll just hand it to Blanche. Not the dagger, but the inscription.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, yeah. So you kind of can see though.
And Blanche is kind of multitasking as she's scrolling, reading the page. She's passing off info to Dresden. The armor's designed when full to trap a soul. I have a hunch that maybe it's being used to trap the five, perhaps to use their magical powers. Against us, no doubt. I hope I'm wrong, but... it's evil. Evil magic.
Sir, actually, I managed to gather some materials for you that I think you'll find quite useful while the dog was lazing about. Hmm? Did you get anything for Master Blanche dog?
I did not, Ruff! Master Blanche, I'm so sorry!
Akio did exactly what I instructed him to do. Thank you, Jean.
Hands you over the supplies.
Blanche wants to check this last door that's between these two before we move on.
Hell yeah. Yeah, you have one last door in this, the end of the hallway. You open it up and you just see another smaller private workshop, just a single table. Again, like walls filled with like various artificery tools. Looks like someone could rent this out if they want to have a secret project, but this entire wing looks to be all artificery.
Before we pass by, Blanche just wants to check to see if there's, like,
if there's a name tag anywhere on this office where Dresden found the dagger, either on like the desk or something, if there's something to say whose office this was.
Yes.
Or is, I guess.
Office of Ross Cujo.
Okay. Noted.
So I'm going to write that down because I made it up just now.
So, not important.
But I know it's going to come up later on. Like, wait a minute. Yeah, what do you want to do now?
Dresden, I'll watch your back. Shall we go to the next door?
You have two options here. You can keep moving forward, keep moving towards the entrance, through the classrooms. Or that smell of magic and metal to the north, the door not opened.
I don't know what we'll find further in, but I don't know that we're ready for that door.
Yeah, I think Dresden will continue walking through the this open space here.
Okay.
And as he passes the door, he'll just give it an open.
As the door opens up, you just see this sort of wide classroom. Mm-hmm. I say wide, but 30 by 30. You see there's chairs all down along the walls, all facing each other. And the sort of middle is like very open space. You see a number of like spell circles are lining the middle of the room. At a glance, I'll say, Blanche, you can see a script based on the School of Illusion in these circles to help sort of create more potent illusion work. You can tell this seems to be a class based on the School of Illusion. People would probably sit in the, across each other from the room and be casting out, probably following the instruction of the teacher who would cast one thing, and then everyone had to cast the same in their circles, precision and, movement and all the fine details being their grade.
All right. Nothing that warrants further investigation, though.
Yeah.
Nothing you see. Okay.
Let's continue to the end of the hall.
So you move all the way down to the end?
Yep.
I think Dresden will peer around the corner first.
As you go, you see the hall once again. The first T drops down, goes long past those sort of work tables, and then opens up again into another elbow, pushing north to a wider hallway, 30 foot wide, with one door right across from you, one door just north of you, another door north of that. A door across from that, and a door at the very top. So you see suddenly five doors open to you.
So I think Dresden will look back to Blanche and do like the little, silent SWAT team type thing. He'll take his eyes and be like, you go there with his fingers pointing across the hallway. And what he's trying to do is telling her to go to the other side, and they will all walk up the hallway and open each door.
Open doors as we go. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
She takes one side with the key. I'll take the other side with John Franklin.
I think we should probably instead of doing them at the same time, do like a door alternate on one side of the alternate. Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So that if we find trouble,
right,
we're all ready for it.
Yeah.
All right. Who goes to the first door?
You just moved John Franklin into the first door. So
That's Blanche.
Oh, that's Blanche. Okay, never mind.
Whoa.
Blanche.
They all look the same to you?
Blanche, because it's a little closer.
That's messed up, dude. Blanche and Akio move to the door, and you open up into a wide lecture hall.
Ooh.
You see benches all like surrounding one stage at the front with a kind of podium and a giant chalkboard behind. It's the grandest classroom you've seen so far.
Anything super important on the chalkboard?
Oh, yes.
Cool.
Ooh.
Very important.
Cool.
I will say, firstly, as you scan the room, you notice the telltale signs, probably like instructions along the wall and various, again, like the basic sort of principle, sort of inscription work of conjuration. And you realize this is Kedja Kamal's own classroom.
Hmm. Ooh.
What you focus on, of course, is that chalkboard.
We can just roll over the 28 Arcana check, right?
That's how it works, yeah.
You don't need Arcana. It's very clearly written here. Big letters. Final exam. And beneath that, you five are my pride. But tragically, only one can graduate and become my legacy. The other four will serve as trials and will bring your full potential to surface in your new forms. These are the rules. Each of you has a fragment of an inscription circle implanted into your thoracic cavities. They are all identical. When four of these are placed around the rim of the Pool of the Faceless, the pathway to my workshop will be opened. You'll receive your diploma and your army. The Academy is your battleground. You may destroy it. The new world will have no use for its esteemed alumni. Fear no commotion. You will not be bothered. I am sorry to all of you. I'm about to create a world that will waste your talents and all of my time mentoring you. I can only offer this compensation. A chance for one of you to lead us all into a new age. And to those that will die, take heart. You will surely strengthen your peers with your final efforts. Happy graduation. You're starting to realize what you are walking into here. There is a killing game happening within the halls of this school.
Wow. Okay. And when he says, inside the cavity, Blanche is, or Stephen, rather, is thinking in the armor's cavity, right? It's not like in their actual physical body.
Who can say?
Fuck me.
Find an armor. Check its cavity.
Dresden, I think it's time to go back to the room. I think we need to know what we're up against.
Whoa. Whoa.
Holy shit.
Okay.
There's magic and metal in there.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Am I crazy? Am I wrong?
I don't know what you're thinking, but I'll follow you.
If there are more pieces like this, and she holds up her arm, maybe we can get some more information. I mean, if it's AG6s, it'll slow us down. We'll have to fight them.
You be careful with that fucking thing.
I don't know what it does yet, but I don't think without the full suit it would harm me. That's what I'm betting on, at least. Let's make haste. Will you agree with me? Is that our next best move?
If that's what you feel like, then I'm here.
I want to try and save these kids. They're just kids. This isn't how they should be taught.
Then let's not waste any more time.
And Dresden.
Yeah.
About face.
Double move back to the door.
This is a really, really cool turn. And I really like the way you're playing it up, and I want to give you a button.
Hell yeah.
Do I get a button for agreeing and going?
Nah, I dropped my dice. Right. Now I'm sad.
We should have had about 700 at this point.
Yeah, I know, right?
We should do a zippy soon, huh? I want to do a reverse zippies where you give me a bunch of buttons.
Nope.
Damn it. You going to the door?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Dresden will lead the way. And when they get there, he'll again mime 1, 2, 3. And then...
So everyone turns around, moves back to the hall, back towards where your entrance you came through, moves to the door where Akio smelled magic and metal. Like he confirms as he reaches it, just sniffs your gauntlet, sniffs at the door.
It's faint. But it's there. Master Blanche, it's there.
Faint could mean that it's not a complete unit. Another piece, perhaps.
And then Dresden opens the way forward.
Another antechamber.
Ooh.
What you see here is some kind of storage room, crates with various odd equipment, spherical objects built of leather and others of heavy iron, like pieces from an unknown sporting game or something. You see steel mesh nets stacked in the corner. There are also racks of blunted swords and spears. You see mannequins made of strong steel, and one wall is just stacked with wide targets of a similar make. And you see two doors, both along the northern wall.
Oh, there's two. I missed the second one.
Yeah, one I'd say is at the very northern end of the eastern wall.
With those doors on the other side, this gives me the feeling that it's like the mud room for a magical house of horrors.
Right. Leather balls.
They must be playing Quibbage, which is slightly different.
Slightly different from what?
From the trademarked version.
What are you talking about?
Do you want a Kyo to make a check here?
Yeah, I want a Kyo to sniff with advantage of his thing.
I want to say, by the way, it's pretty fucked up that you're like, our primary means of doing things is by having the dog smell every room when the GM can't smell and doesn't know what it is.
Bro, I don't know, man. You gave me this.
I don't know what it is. If anyone's over there, they're like, Magic Emil doesn't smell anything. I don't know that.
You gave me the stat block.
I don't care. I don't care. You gave me the stat block. Yeah, well, I'm going to give you a headache.
I mean, well, dude, you've got the smell of magic all wrong.
I smell like magic. You know what I'm saying?
18.
He sniffs at the eastern door. He sniffs at the northern door. And he looks back to you.
It's both!
Shit.
Now there's a conundrum.
Well, Dresden, east or north?
Akio's at the east one right now?
Yeah.
Dresden will walk over silently, move slowly past Akio, wave Blanche and John over. And he will slowly crack the door.
The eastern door.
The eastern door.
Opens. Give me a second. This room is
Holy shit. Oh no, there's a red axe.
What is that?
Yes, you guys see.
That's a dead person.
That's the first student.
Yeah.
The one that we've first run into, at least.
Okay. You open up into a very large room. It looks like some kind of gymnasium or inside courtyard. The supplies behind you suddenly make a lot more sense. This huge space, like 70 by 110 feet, it just opens up before you. You see, there is a ceiling hanging above you, but the tile-carved mud of the halls and other rooms that you've been sort of moving around in have been replaced here by a ground of gravel. You see more of those wide targets stand against the western wall just beside the entrance you've approached from. There are scorch marks covering one target, streaks on the surface of another are slightly warped and bent. While these are obviously older marks, there are much fresher forms of damage all around the room. Gravel scattered in large gashes, small scorch marks and dents in the walls. But your eyes would likely not be drawn to all this, because at the center of the room you see something else. You see where that arm came from. A nearly full suit of armor, Ozen's armor, complete with the lightning bolt and everything. The full mask lies motionless.
Is there a human arm sticking out of the blank space?
There is not. Simply missing.
And from Blanche's Arcana check, she figured out that putting on the full suit would try to trap her soul.
If it can come back together again, I will say immediately looking at this, you realize that's not a concern you have to have, because this armor has been heavily, heavily damaged. Mm. It's obvious. Firstly, because it's covered in some kind of web. The thick strands reaching far out, covering maybe 20 feet of the floor of this room. The armor looks to be trapped beneath all this white webbing, and you can see a number of puncture wounds, like spear tips, have been driven through the metal. There also welts bludgeoned into the helm and back, like something very hard was smashed against it over and over. Do you want to take a closer look?
Dresden, I don't know if this was just for training or if this was one of the students. Let me take a closer look, and then I'll come right back.
Dresden will again manifest his echo next to Blanche, and the echo will go with.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I just want to do this quickly and move on to the next room.
Yeah, because Dresden is very close to quickly spinning around and opening that other door.
Very quick.
You step forward, carefully moving around the webbing, step into it, and you reach down. Do you want to roll investigation, arcana? What are you looking to roll here?
Well, I think I'd like to roll investigation first.
Okay.
To try and suss out if this was just a training dummy.
Yeah.
You know, an AG6, or if this was a suit that one of the five was wearing, and upon their death, they disappeared or something. They got sucked into the suit. I don't know. So, eyes of minute seeing down, she's taking a look at the suit of armor. 21.
21. It's clearly the same one that the arm piece you have came from, which means it is a full AG6 unit. The inscription had been active, but had become deactivated when it was destroyed. Taking a closer look at this, looking through, you realize, first of all, I think you push open the sort of chest, the thoracic cavity, as it was described before. Mm-hmm. You don't see anything inside, but perhaps it was already taken. You do see there's not space enough inside this armor. A lot of it's actually pretty solid. And it's just like, there's like, you know, the mechanical workings of the artificery kind of fill a lot of the space. It couldn't have held a physical body, but it can hold a soul.
Huh.
You think back to the AG5s. They had fatal flaws. They had to act on the command of others or just follow just like some base instincts. And if there was heavy magic in the area, remember their sort of whole network would just get fried. They would stand still. That gave you an opportunity to act there. What if there was an armored guard that could command, that could serve as a field commander that didn't suffer from the same issues, that could lead units like that? What if a soul was bound to armor? It's so strange. You're looking down at Ozen's own armor, his own mask with nothing behind it. You notice the hand is closed. The other hand is curled around something. And as you look at it, you see there's just like this small, thin glass stirrer, like one might use in workings of sensitive alchemical projects. And you notice that the armor itself, with that check, where the puncture wounds are, there's a liquid, a light maroon, spurts of it just around the wounds.
Like coming from the outside or coming from the inside?
Mostly on the inside. Like it was from the outside pushed to the inside with from whatever created those puncture wounds.
Blanche will pick up the stir. Is there any red on it?
No, looks like something on it, like a faint, thick brown, a dried up kind of oil. Something being worked on.
Something being worked on?
But not here.
Okay, she'll pocket it and run out of the room.
Okay, leaving that body behind.
I don't know if the students have already been sacrificed, or if they're being remotely controlled, but it's not their bodies in the suits, it's their souls.
It's like a stampede. Yeah.
I hope so that funny. Heard that so we can keep that in. And that was a stampede of three dogs outside their room running by. It was a
stampede
by.
Of three tiny dogs. Yeah, it needs to be expressed how That's small true. These dogs
That's
are.
That's true. A pug, a chihuahua, and a chihuahua dachshund mix.
You walk out in the hall and horses! Galloping through.
My guess is it's time to go OUT.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
Blanche runs up to the next door. If there's another magical aura in here, perhaps it's another suit. We should check it out.
Dresden stares at Blanche in the eyes and doesn't avert his gaze at all as he walks to the door, puts his hand on the handle, opens it, and peers in. He broke his gaze from Blanche to
finally
just
hear.
In case that needed to be.
He's over the door, no one's looking in.
I don't want to create like some serious plot holes here, man.
Sniper just takes you out. One thing you notice actually as you open the door. And it's like you don't notice till it's creaking open, but there's like inscription along the edge of the door and along the edge of the door frame.
Okay. Would Dresden benefit anything by rolling?
You certainly could. Yeah. You're opening up and you open it slightly. You see that and you stop. You guys roll perhaps to see what's going on there.
Yeah,
give me Arcana.
Yeah. Blanche would definitely want to roll Arcana to try to read.
No, not with a natural one.
Oh,
Dresden, you hear horses.
Blanche got a 27.
Oh, shit.
27. Immediately, Blanche, you're taking this in and you're like, interesting. This is the workings of a silence spell. Not one necessarily keeping everything in the room silent, but one that keeps this room, basically turns this room into a entirely noise-canceling space, right? Like, you wouldn't hear anything happening outside the room. You wouldn't hear anything outside the room happening inside the room. Only when the door's closed would the circuit be complete. So the second that door is open, you realize that silence spell is broken.
Okay.
Do you continue pushing that door open?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are there, like, any broken rock pieces or anything lying around? I'm looking for something that could function as a doorstop.
You see, again, there's those iron balls and various things in here. There's, like, spears, like, you know, padded spears and swords and such. There's plenty of things you could grab in this room that you're in now.
Okay.
So you kind of slide something underneath.
Yeah. Dresden will just grab fucking sword.
Prop the door open.
And just, like...
Hell yeah.
Squeeze it in there so it stays open.
And you push on, looking into a band room. This chamber, 40 foot by 50 foot, looks to be dedicated solely to the bardic arts. See a huge gold-painted piano sits along the eastern wall. See instruments of all sorts resting on racks on the edges of the room. Brass horns, trumpets, tubas, etc. Smaller wind instruments, a myriad of drums, sitars, bagpipes. Just a cultural melting pot of music makers. A series of stringed instruments hangs on low racks, looking entirely unique to you. Round bat with a great many strings traveling up the long rod. And you may or may not recognize these as a kora, an instrument created by Sensons long ago. You see that the center of this room is just a large open space with stacks of gold-trimmed chairs and stands along the northern wall for students to, you know, maybe move around and set themselves where they want to practice. It looks like one might expect from Anissa Academy. An extravagant, no-expense-spared music room just packed with options. The only thing that seems odd is a 5-by-5-foot container pressed against the western wall of the room. It's just notable in its plainness. Just a box of thick metal with hinges indicating it should open from the top and a latch that can be used to lock it closed from the outside. You also see a series of small holes carved into the top. It's pretty obvious that this thing just does not belong in here, as it sits in front of a rack of wind instruments. You even see the snapped edge of a flute broken beneath the weight of this box. And you see from the doorway that this is about 25 feet from you into the room.
Okay. My first thought is air holes.
Right, same. What size are these, what I'm thinking to be air holes?
Small. Just, you know, maybe like a half an inch.
A pinprick, a dime, a quarter.
A number of half inches. Just like, it looks like air holes feels like a very accurate assessment.
Okay.
But.
Okay.
I wouldn't need air in here.
Roughly the size of a dime or a penny?
Whatever half inch would be probably like a dime.
Oh, bigger than. Dude. A half inch is probably bigger than a dime or a penny.
A box with potential air holes is in a room that you can't hear.
Yeah.
From the inside.
Big enough that a bat could fit through.
Oh!
Blanche's going to send Turbo in.
Oh!
A bat could fit in there?
Oh! Wait, what?
Half inch?
No.
Half inch? No. Half inch?
Oh, no.
Inch?
Yeah. No.
You know what an inch looks like?
Uh-huh.
A bat can't fit. No, a bat's quite.
There's
quite,
no way a bat
quite larger.
Fit. Hang on a second.
Okay, a dime is 0.7 inches, so we're off by
like a 10, bat can like, fit in a dime.
Yeah. What? Wait, what?
Damn, that's crazy.
What?
Well, no, your bat can't fit in there. You give me a tray like amorphous, and I'll give it to him. But nah.
I just started googling what size hole can a bat, but it auto completed to a moose.
A half inch. If it was a moose, on the other hand, you'd be fine.
Oh my god. Yeah. A bat could fit through as tiny as a quarter inch to 3/8 inch.
Oh.
Holy shit.
I'm not.
Turbo can go through this. Turbo can go through this.
What I know.
Which is roughly the size of a dime or a nickel.
Let me look at Turbo's.
Using their flexible bodies to squeeze into existing cracks, gaps, and openings.
If this bat has amorphous, it's fine. Hang on a second.
What does amorphous mean?
Dude, it means they don't create their own holes, but exploit minute structural weaknesses.
It's a bat, bro.
I see nothing in here.
So homeowners need to inspect for even the smallest imperfections to prevent
entry. It can do the same thing that a bat can do, right? Like.
Dude, there's a YouTube video of a bat fitting through a hole the size of a dime.
The Pants are looking riot. I'm not letting your bat sneak into every tiny crack in this campaign. There's no way. That's craziness. I'm sorry.
Okay, then what Blanche wants to do is she wants to
get a worm instead, fucker.
She wants to get like a torch or something.
Jeez.
And peek into the holes with a light source.
You're going in the room then?
Oh, God.
I thought we were in the room.
You opened the door to the room. Then you were going to throw a bat in there or some
shit. Hold on. Now I don't know if I want to go in the room.
Yeah.
Wait, can Turbo, Wait, hold at, on, least, hold can on. Turbo think... at least look through the hole?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's cool.
Turbo goes in the room.
Turbo goes in the room.
Turbo goes in the room. You son of a bitch.
Oh, it triggered something.
In looking in the hole, Turbo sees an armored form. Pressed down, sitting, suddenly looks up. As this happens, Turbo witnesses this form through your eyes, I imagine, hands snapping in this very, very fast pattern, a somatic gesture. The moment this happens, the rest of you, Turbo included, would see this room begins to come to life. Did you ever play Super Mario 64?
Yes.
Then you have to remember a very particular piano.
No.
In that game. No, you don't remember the piano? A piano in the Haunted Boo Mansion that when you go there, it comes to life, sort of fuck you up. It was a nightmare fuel for me as a child and for probably so many of you listening. Well,
I played more GoldenEye than I did Super Mario.
Imagine a GoldenEye piano, because this piano is made of gold. And as this gesture goes off, as you're looking at this room, as Turbo lands in the cage, as this figure snaps to look at you, a number of instruments you see. The piano, legs begin to move. It opens up, a loud clamor sounding as it begins to move towards you. See two of the tubas rise up the rack and begin to turn towards you. You hear notes blowing out. Your ears are sort of blown in. You are actually deafened, I will say, immediately as this begins. All of you are under the deafened condition. You see two of those koras rise from their own racks, and you are facing down a small army of instruments that turn towards you, and all the clamor, the figure in the middle sort of hiding out, and they rush you. All right, give me a line. Give me a tagline. What's a cool musical line? It's music time. No.
The overture's over. It's time for the show.
The overture's over, and it's time for the show. We'll call it there.